Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 34 of Romans chapter 1, and we're beginning to read in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And I'll stop reading there. In our last study, we were looking at verse 18 and the word wrath, and we went to some verses that spelled out and taught us about the wrath of God. Revelation 19:15, for example, verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So this is describing Judgment Day. And I wanted to read the earlier verses because we see a strong focus on the Word of God. As it said in verse 13, that his name, the Lord Jesus, is called the Word of God. And of course, we know that he's the Word made flesh. But this is Judgment Day. This is the time when he will be treading that winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And notice the emphasis on the Word of God in verse 14. The armies in heaven which followed him, who would be the saints, all those that are saved. And then verse 15, and out of his mouth, out of Christ's mouth, and what comes out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, who is eternal God? The Word of God. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And there's another figure that identifies with the Word of God. As Hebrews chapter 4:12 tells us, the word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So that's three times in these three verses. Jesus' name is called the Word of God. What proceeds out of his mouth would be the Word of God. And the sharp sword is a figure used to represent the Word of God, the Bible. And with it, the sharp sword, he should smite the nations and rule them. And we've talked a lot about that word rule, that it's translated as feed in some places, including John 21, feed my sheep. And so the same word that rules the wicked with a rod of iron to express the wrath of God is the same Bible that serves to feed those that have become saved. The same information, identical information. We don't have to pander to one or to the other, change anything as though we could, because we don't know who's saved and who isn't saved. But God isn't calling for that. We're not to try and teach one thing to the elect and another to the unsaved. No, we teach the same truth to all, and God will take it from that point to apply it either as wrath to those that are still in their sins, they're filthy still, unsaved, or as spiritual nourishment, food for the sheep who have become righteous by the righteousness of Christ and are righteous still. So that is the focus of God in the day of judgment, and the purpose of the Word of God is to do one of those two things with each hearer of the Word. And we know, of course, in John chapter 12, verse 48, it says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The Word is the Bible. And it's no coincidence that as we read the Bible, we have learned that Jesus came in judgment, a spiritual judgment, yes, but a judgment all the same on May 21, 2011. And the Bible has brought forth much information in support of that. It's a continual learning. As we search the scriptures, we're finding more and more scriptural support, evidence proving these things, which in turn is exactly fulfilling Matthew 24, verse 30. Immediately after the tribulation, the Lord Jesus will come, or no, not come. Actually, it says he's coming in a continual way in Matthew 24, verse 30. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And you see, we see him coming today as God shows us in his Word, which is judging. The Word, the Bible, is the judge in the last day. And we learn more about it tomorrow or in the months to come or in the years to come. And we're continuing to see his coming in the clouds, as the clouds are a figure of the Word of God, the Bible. And, you know, I'm not making that up. And actually, I learned that from Mr. Camping, as he made reference to Numbers chapter 9 in one of his studies, where God associates the movement of the clouds with Israel in the wilderness to his commandments. A very powerful link. Please read that chapter, Numbers chapter 9. And so Mr. Camping's not the one who came up with it. He just recognized what God did. Clouds equal commandments. Commandments are found in the Bible. The whole Bible is the commandment of God. It's the law of God. Christ coming in the clouds, Christ coming in the commandments of God, which is the Bible, just so happens to agree with Revelation 19, verse 15, that his name is the Word, that out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp sword. With it, with the sword, which is another figure like the clouds, with it he will smite the nations and rule them. And I just mentioned, which serves to do the smiting, ruling with a rod of iron, and feeding simultaneously, because it's the Word of God, the Bible. That's just strong proof. We're understanding things correctly. We've been on the right track that God is doing this. Now, remember, we're following this verse in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." And in our last study also, we went to Romans chapter 2, verse 5, and I'll read the middle of the verse to the end. "Treasure us up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath." And that is only pointing to judgment day, our time period, "the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Why did God add that second part to this verse. He could have said that, these sinners who, after their hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, period. And it would have been understandable. We would have gotten the point. But he used the conjunction, the day of wrath and. So what follows goes along. It is occurring. It's happening at the same time of the day of wrath. Day of wrath and revelation, or the revealing of the righteous judgment of God. And you see, we didn't understand. And I don't think we could have possibly understood prior to May 21, 2011. Yes, we understood many things. We understood the date would be Judgment Day. We understood there would be a prolonged period of judgment thereafter, although we incorrectly analyzed the 5 months and came up with a literal understanding, and that was wrong. It's part of the Bible. It's a parable. Therefore, it represents a hidden truth, which is a prolonged Judgment Day period. But we did not understand that the elect would remain on the earth. We thought they would be raptured before the time to escape the judgment. And now I hope you're as clear as I am by God's grace on that point, because I could turn to 3 or 4 verses right now and show it's God's plan. It's always been his plan to judge the living and the dead, the righteous and the wicked. They must appear, and the elect must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:10 declares. And the word appear cannot apply to the wicked, because it's that word that relates to demonstration. And the wicked, as they are coming before God in judgment, are not demonstrating, because they've never been officially judged in this manner. They were not in Christ at the foundation of the world, as he made payment for the sins of his elect. And therefore, the elect in Christ have been before the judgment and experienced the judgment in the person of Jesus. Therefore, only we can appear or be made manifest before the judgment seat, as 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us. Which is a strong proof that, yes, the elect will be here. Well, we didn't understand that. We didn't understand that it would be a spiritual judgment. Just as God first spiritually judged the churches and congregations, then he transitioned the cup of wrath he had given to the church, he turned and gave to the nations of the world. Same cup, identical cup, according to Jeremiah 25. And yet we thought it would be a different type of judgment. Oh, this won't be spiritual. This will be physical. Perhaps because we know that the world doesn't see spiritual things. And maybe it was a desire to want them to see the judgment. And yet the church didn't see the spiritual judgment either. They're tares. They're unsaved. They can't see truly. They can't truly see spiritual things. Yet God judged them spiritually, and he followed that up with a spiritual judgment on the world. And now that we've entered into the day of wrath, and we've been in it for years, we are seeing many things. God is revealing much truth to us to help us, to feed us, to comfort us, to strengthen us for the trial that we must face in order that we can endure to the end. We're able to spiritually partake of this information. And I know, thanks to God, this has certainly helped me in living early on. It was just so horrible. Right after May 21, 2011, the horrible thing was the confusion and what's going on, because we know the truth of the Word of God. We know that a man like Mr. Camping was proclaiming the truth and a faithful man, and it was all turned upside down, and he has become the target even in death of those who would call him a false prophet and all kinds of ugly things. And early on, it really was a hard thing, a grievous thing to experience. But then God began revealing the truth to us, the information that came down from him, and we learned. And that it serves really as a soothing medicine to the soul, and it strengthens us. And it was a hard thing to think, well, we're going to be here until 2033, as God has revealed a great deal of information, a strong amount of biblical evidence pointing to that year. And it was not an easy matter, because we were focused on a time, and the time we thought had come, and then we find out, oh, no, you'll be here years more. But again, okay, it's a hard blow at first, but then we learn. We learn, and God gives us his patience. No wonder he said, in patience possess ye your souls. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And that statement is made in Revelation 14, where the cup of the wrath of God is in view. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And because Jesus is patience, and because Jesus indwells his people, they can exercise patience, and they can wait on the Lord. But the unsaved, the wicked, cannot do that. Well, now here in Romans 2:5, the day of wrath and revelation, and this is Strong's number 602, translated as revelation, the related word to the word in chapter 1, verse 18, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And so I'm going to look at some scriptures that it will either have one of these two words. They're so closely related, and sometimes in a passage you'll find both of them. You can check it out. It's either number 601 or 602. I may not mention it each time. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 9 and 10. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, this is the process of revelation, how God reveals truth to his people by his Spirit. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. John 14 through 16, I think it's John 16, tells us. And how does the Spirit guide us into truth? Well, we won't read it, but a few verses down, verse 13, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We follow the biblical methodology, the Bible's own hermeneutic for learning truth, for coming to right doctrine, here a little, there a little, scripture with scripture. And if we do so and are careful to make sure our conclusions harmonize with the Bible as a whole, the Spirit teaches, and therefore the Spirit has revealed truth to us. And, you know, just think of that when we're reading the next verses we're going to read, and when we're reading Romans 2:5, the day of wrath and revelation, revealed by the Spirit through the process of comparing Scripture with Scripture, is what Romans 2:5 is telling us. In the day of wrath, which we're no longer shocked or surprised by, because we've learned the elect will be on the earth right where we're at now throughout the judgment period until the end. And in 2 Thessalonians, this will confirm how God uses this word revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And we know, because it has been revealed, and how has it been revealed? By the Spirit. For example, through Isaiah 14, that the king of Babylon is likened to Satan, and that's why it can speak of a man, and other verses. So the Bible has revealed the man of sin is Satan himself, who will take his seat in the temple. And the Bible has revealed the temple is the church, the loosing of Satan, and so on. Well, the word revealed is also used in verse 6. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." And in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth." That would tie into Revelation 19:15, "And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The word brightness is that word that's translated in other places as appearing, the appearing of his coming. And we spent some time looking at that word appearing in another study. But we can see the word revealed, the wicked is revealed, the man of sin is revealed. We didn't see him with our physical eyes, did we? No, you can't see Satan, or you weren't able to see him seated in the temple with any physical sight. It was through spiritual understanding. And we saw with eyes of faith as the Spirit revealed the truth to us through his word, the Bible. This is the same way that Jesus will be seen as the judge of all the earth. If we turn to Luke 17, which is a chapter that speaks of the coming of Noah and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. For example, in verse 29, it says, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And again, the Son of Man is revealed in the day of judgment. And we see Christ as judge coming in the clouds. That is through the word of God, the Bible. The word that will judge in the last day. The word itself is the judge. The holy book of God is the judge of all the earth. And this is where the people of God see Christ seated upon his judgment throne. The word smiting the nations with a rod of iron and ruling them and yet feeding his people. And we could go to several or a couple of verses that show Christ upon the throne feeding the great multitude, for example, in Revelation chapter 7. Well, also, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, and it says in verse 6 and following, "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word revealed was here. The word revelation was here. Well, where was it? I didn't hear it, you might be thinking. Right, because it's translated another way. It's translated as coming in verse 7. "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the revealing or revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then in verse 8, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, there's a synonym that God himself is using for this word, as he allowed the translators to translate it this way, is the coming. The day the Son of Man is revealed or coming, that we're living in that time of his revealing, of his coming. They're one and the same. They are equivalent ideas in the Bible. We also find, if we go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, and I'll start reading from verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And this is 601 in verse 5, which is our word in Romans 1:18. That in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, you've probably guessed it. The word appearing is the word revelation. It's 602 in Strong's Greek Concordance, the related word to reveal. And notice the connection with the trial of faith. It's very similar to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we've looked at this several times, just to explain for anyone who hasn't maybe heard before, this speaking of the foundation, who is Christ, and then building upon that gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that is saved or unsaved, wheat or tares, sheep or goats. Then in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, and that would tie in for we must all appear before the judgment seat. It's that word manifest. For the day shall declare it. That would be the day of the wrath of God, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You see, judgment day will reveal by fire, and we don't have time, but you can look at Isaiah 30, verse 30, or around there, that speaks of the breath of Jehovah's brimstone, and all scriptures God breathed, remember? So it's the word of God, the Bible, that's as fire, which shall reveal whether you and I are gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. Just as 1 Peter 1 is saying, it's mentioning a trial of our faith, which is more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.